together and so on down to verse 10. Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared us unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May God have the blessing of the reading of his word. You may be seated. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we come to the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to have open ears and hearts, Lord, that we would hear what you have for us. Lord, I pray for myself that, Lord, that I would make decisions today because of what the word of God says. And I pray that we as a church would have a desire to do more than what we've done before. In your name, amen. Thank you, Ori, for saying. Always enjoy when you do. All right, Colossians chapter number 1. As we read that last verse, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that ye would walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. So to walk worthy. Let's think of that phrase this morning, to walk worthy. Every single one of us this morning did the same thing. We got dressed, we got ready. Some people, it takes them a shorter amount of time to get ready. Some people, it takes them a long time to get ready. Some people, 10, 15 minutes, they're out the door. Jason Reeves, throw a shirt on, all right, here we go, good. Am I right? Right, he's Mr. Perfect Proper, has to have, you know, has six different mirrors, make sure every hair is in the right spot. Some people, it takes them a little bit longer. Hours and hours, you know, wake up. My wife got up at 6 o'clock this morning, so that she could get ready, but she's got all the kids and everything else to get ready, too. It's a lot of work. Man, my hat is off to you for you ladies that have all these kids to get ready and whatnot, and it's a lot. We just got to worry about ourselves, so we're, you know, us guys, we're pretty good. But we all got ready this morning. We all made it a purpose to get up in time so that we can be here for church this morning. And all of us, before we did, at some point, took out those shoes and put them on our feet. And we walked out the door. I know this lady here in Great Falls, that she doesn't wear shoes. She thinks that it's healthier or whatnot for her feet to not have them, but so be it, you know, I guess. I don't know if she's from West Virginia or what, but, you know, I like shoes. I like to make sure my feet are comfortable. But, you know, she said her feet are like leather pretty much, that not much really does much to it. When I was in Mexico, a place that I'd never want to go back to again, we were down there and we went to the dump, and people lived in the dump, and these kids ran around with no shoes on. And I mean, it didn't matter, glass or whatever, their feet have gotten callous to it and built up some strength and resiliency against it. You know, we took our feet and walked on that without shoes. You know, we'd be, you know, just tiptoeing around and all that. Man, you just get a Lego on your foot, man. You really know what it feels like. Kids, you got to make sure you get a light when you go in to make sure that all their Legos are up, because just that one small little Lego, boy, it hurts. It's not much fun. But all of us, though, walked out the door and came to church. For whatever reason that we came, we're here. And as we read this passage of Scripture, we think about how we walk in life, but do we really think of, do we walk worthy? Do we walk worthy? Worthy of God. When we compare ourselves in our lives, it is easy for us to compare ourselves either of one of two things. Either one, we will compare ourselves to somebody else. And usually when we do that, we'll compare ourselves to somebody that we feel is not as good as us. Why? So that when we compare ourselves to them, we make ourselves feel really good. Now, I'm not saying that Ori does this, but if Ori were to compare her singing with my dad's singing, it would be very easy for her to compare the two and feel really good about her singing. My dad enjoys music, he's just not any good at it. Everybody is able to join the choir, 5 o'clock next Sunday. You could come join, have choir practice, join our choir if you're a member of Heritage Baptist Church. We're glad to have you, except for my dad. He's in the box because he is away from my ears for what he sings. I love my dad, and I'll pay for that later, I'm sure. But if she were to compare, it's really good. We have a tendency to do that in our lives, where we compare ourselves and we say, okay, we're going to measure up how we're doing, and we compare it to somebody who we already know is not doing as good as us. If I were to compare myself to my coworkers, I feel really good about how I am. Because on Sunday morning they slept in. Why? Because of Friday and Saturday night. They were out doing who knows what. So they need Sunday to recover from Saturday. So if I compare myself to that, I think, boy, I'm doing really good. I'm feeling really good about myself and my decisions and how I am as an individual. Because what I'm comparing them to isn't really all that great. I could also compare myself to myself. Now, do you think about that? You think, what is that? Well, not that I'm looking at everybody else, but just based off of how I feel about me. Now, that's really tricky, because then it's based off of my own standards, my own convictions of what I feel is good for me. And really, that's what most people do. There's some people that will compare themselves to others, but most of the time what we do is we live our life and we base it off of how we feel we should be. So if we want to go to church, we feel good about going to church, we go to church. If we don't want to go to church, we make up a reason why we shouldn't go to church. And then because of that, we make ourselves feel good about our decision because we're looking out for ourselves and what's good for us. and how good I feel about it. I feel good about just coming Sunday morning. It's okay that I wasn't there Wednesday night. It's okay that I don't go Sunday night, but I feel good about my decision for right now. Well, you know, this came up, and so this is this. And we reason out in our own mind why we do what we do and what we feel comfortable about what we do. And that is in every aspect of our life. Hey, Saturday soul winning, based off how you feel. How we live throughout the week, how we treat others. Well, I think I treat people decently. I'm okay. I'm happy with how I am. And when we just look at ourselves and how we feel we should be, based off of our own opinion of ourselves, we're always going to think we're doing good. There's that saying that usually you're the last person to know about something about yourself. Somebody could be saying something and it's aimed right at you and you're thinking, boy, you know, that'd be really good for so-and-so to hear. They need that. But I'm pretty good myself. Why? Because we have an elevated opinion of ourselves. Where we feel really good, and because we are comfortable with where we are at spiritually, we have no desire to go past that and do anything more than that. We get to a point and we say, all right, I'm good where I am. What's the need to do more? And in that, everybody would set their own standards at different degrees based off of how you feel. Some people would feel really good if they came Sunday morning, Sunday night, and that's it. Some people feel really good just about Sunday. Some people feel good about sitting at home. But they'll reason it out in their mind. Why? Because it's based off of how they feel. Boy, James talks about how, you know, him that wavereth is like a wave driven with the wind and tossed. What's it mean? There's no foundation to it. It's just wherever the wind blows, it goes. And a lot of times, that's how we live our life. Just whatever comes up, that's what we're going to do. And it's based off of our feelings and our emotions. Now, I don't know about you, but I've met some really emotional people before in my life where they're like, whoa, you're a basket case. They're all over the map. Somebody said, you know, being married, you know, you get a different person every day. I don't see that in my marriage, but, you know, other people may. You know, I got to make sure I put that disclaimer out there so I don't get in trouble. I can be in trouble with my dad. That's okay. My wife, that's a whole different story. But in reality, though, as emotional people, if we make decisions based off of emotions, we may never make the right decision. And so Paul writes here to the church at Colossae. He writes to the church at Ephesus. He writes to the church at Thessalonica. The same thing to every single one of them. Walk worthy. To walk worthy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now some people read that passage of scripture and say, well, that's talking about to the pastor who's called into the ministry. I'm not called into the ministry, and so therefore I don't have to listen to that verse. That is absolutely incorrect. There are some times where we will have our pastor and we'll hold him to a higher standard because he's our pastor. Which, there's some validity to that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, there are requirements for being a pastor. And they're pretty steep. And so we should have a level of requirements for our pastor, because scripturally that's right. But to hold him at a certain level and then say, oh, you know, he's expected to do that because he has to walk worthy of the vocation that he is called, but I don't have to. I don't have to. I'm not him. And then we get so devastated if our pastor does something that we may not agree with, and then we get hurt and say, oh, how could he do that? Well, he's a person. But when you look at yourself, you're not even in the same playing field, because we don't feel like we have to walk worthy. Every single one of us, though, we are called to do something. God calls every Christian to do something. The thing that I pray, and my wife and I, we pray for our children, is that they understand where God wants them to be in their life and to do it. Because he's going to call them to something. My brother, he's a deacon at his church back in Columbus, Ohio. He's not a pastor. He's just a layman. He has his job at Nationwide Insurance. I make him sing that jingle all the time when I talk to him, you know. He's got his job. He works. And he labors at his church. That's what God has called him to do. If my brother were to try to do anything different than that, he would not be doing what God had for his life and would be outside of the will of God for him. My brother-in-law and sister down in Colorado, they're not called into the ministry. She teaches at their school and she feels that's where God has led her. But she has a direction, and Zach as well has a direction where it says, okay, this is where God has led us, and so we need to be faithful in that calling. And every single one of us, as members of Heritage Baptist Church, God has called us to do something. Not just to sit and occupy space, but to be active and doing something to please God. He's called us into his ministry. Now, everybody's responsibility may be something different. Somebody has to be called to run that bus. Somebody's got to be called to drive that bus. To get on that bus and get up in the morning and bring those kids to church. They need to hear about God. We can reason in our mind about the bus ministry. Well, you know, it doesn't really work, because how many of those kids, you know, once they hit teenagers, seventh grade, they're gone or whatever. We don't know that. I've talked to several people out door knocking and out talking to people, and they'd say, you know, I used to come to your church, and I remember Vacation Bible School, and I remember this and that, and boy, it had such a strong impact on my life. We'll know. But somebody's got to do it, though. But if nobody else, I'll jump on the bus like I did this morning, and I'll do it. There's a lot of other stuff on my plate, but hey, if it's got to be done, I'm going to do it. We got to figure out what God has for us in our life and then get active doing it. We can't just sit around and be lazy. We are all called to be active members of Heritage Baptist Church. And so because of that, we have to walk worthy of that calling. To walk worthy. So there's three thoughts that I had for you this morning about how to walk worthy, or why do we walk worthy. Number one, the question I have is, who do we live to please? Most people would say ourselves. We live to please ourselves. I have absolutely no problem looking out for me. We were at an event last night for work, because our work sponsors different events. They buy these tables and different things just so that they can say that they're being a help out in the community and whatnot. And so from that, then employees have to go to the event, fill the table, sit there and all that, just to be the face of U.S. Bank and whatnot. And so my wife and I, we had to go to one of those events last night, and we sat there. And one of the guys that is there, his wife works with Charlene in the trust department, and he talked about how he would get so busy when he was younger before he got married. Then it'd be 8 o'clock at night, and he'd think, boy, well, man, I'm not feeling right. He said, I was sitting there, and I think, and he said, that's because he hadn't eaten at all during the day. And I thought, you know what, I have absolutely no problem with that. I never get to the point where it's 8 o'clock and I haven't eaten. Why? Because I like food. I know it doesn't look like it because I don't have the big belly, you know, like some, but I like to eat. I just know when to stop. But I like food. Give me a nice juicy steak. Pink in the middle, you know, not raw. Okay, raw is disgusting. Read your Bible, talks about, you know, blood and all that. You're not supposed to eat. You know, be biblical about it. You know, cook your steaks. But I like to eat. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure that I get fed. Why? Because I look out for me. I have no problem with that. I have no problem looking out for myself. Neither does any one of us. And a lot of times we make decisions in our life based off of what we feel and what we want because we think that's what's going to make us happy. We're trying to please ourselves. Colossians says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Why? As you read on in verse 16, it goes on to say at the end of it, all things were created by Him and for Him. What's that mean? I was created to please God. When I don't do what I'm created to do, I will become miserable. I am created to please God. I'm created for Him. Not for myself, but I'm created for God. So my actions, when I look at my life and I say, okay, I need to do things that please Him. My thoughts, my actions, are they pleasing to God? Or are they pleasing to myself? Am I doing what I want to do? Or am I looking at what does God want me to do? Sometimes the things that I have to do to please God does not please me. This morning, I'd much rather be home helping my wife get kids ready. It's the truth. But I've learned a long time ago that there are times in our lives when we have to do things that we don't necessarily like. That's called being an adult. Those bills come in, I don't really like paying bills. But you know, I've learned, you kind of got to pay your bills. If not, then they come asking for it. In the industry that I've worked at, I've had people come in and say, hey, I don't understand. I had this $1,200 in my account, and it's gone. And I pull it up, and they say, there's this word called garnishments. You owed them the money. They came, and they took the money because of the legal aspect that they had because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Now they're out all that money. Why? They didn't pay their bills. Hey, there are times in our lives where we have to do things we don't necessarily like. We have to do it. Just the same as we may have to pay bills or do other things, as a Christian, there may be times where God says, okay, this is what I want you to do. I don't want to. But I'm not here to please me. I am not here to please me. I'm here to please God. And when I have that thought process right in my life, okay, my actions are to please God. Well, you know, I may not like it, but, you know, it's going to make God happy, so I'll do it. But last night with my wife, she says, well, we got to go to this event. I didn't want to go to that event. Anybody knows, I'm a hockey fanatic, and I'm a big Pittsburgh Penguins fan, and I'm looking forward to them repeating this year as Stanley Cup champions. And last night was game two, second round. At 6 o'clock, the puck was dropping against the Washington Capitals, and it was on NBC, and I could sit at home and watch it, and I wanted to sit and watch that, but I knew that it would make my wife happy. So I sucked it up. Got ready. And at 6 o'clock, we were downtown at that event. Because I wanted to make her happy. I wanted to be pleasing to her. I didn't want her to be upset. I wanted to make her happy. That's my goal as her husband, is to make my wife happy. And there are things that I'm going to do that I may not like, but I know that she will. Well, what do you want to have? I don't really want to have that, but okay. Why? Because as a marriage, we understand that that's what it takes to make it work. But then when it comes to God, all we do is just look at ourselves and say, oh, we're just here to make us happy. And we forget Him, and we forget the fact that we were created by Him, for Him, and our life is to be pleasing to God. This past week, were you pleasing to God? Your actions that you did, if we were to put them on display right here and we drop everything down, put the projector screen up, and we listed your events and the things that you did this week, would you be ashamed? Would it be, if Jesus were standing here and He were to go through each one and say, boy, that was really pleasing to me. That was, oh, you really thought that would please me? Our thoughts that we have, are they pleasing to God? How we treat other people, is it pleasing to God? We talk about our police force and how they're held to this high standard. And so because of that, we want to give them these body cams so that we can see everything that they're doing. And so if they're doing anything that they're not supposed to, we know. It's pretty much what it all comes down to. And yes, you could say that it helps them out too, because then it gives them validity to their actions and whatnot. But could you imagine if you're a police officer and you had that cam on and everybody gets to watch everything that you do? That is not a job that I would like. I'm very thankful for the men and women that serve in our city and in our county and in our state that keep us safe. My hat's off to them. Could you imagine having to go into a situation knowing that your actions are going to be picked apart by everybody else because they can see it? And that there are going to be people that are going to pick it apart and say, that's not right, that's not right, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that, and it wasn't very pleasing to them. But yet God sees everything that we do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So were we pleasing to Him this week? How we treat other people, was it pleasing to God? The things that we do at our home when nobody else is around, is that pleasing to God? The things that we watch, is it pleasing to God? The things that we listen to, is it pleasing to God? Or is it just pleasing to ourselves? Walk worthy. We talked about on Easter how Jesus sacrificed it all and had paid the debt for us, and our responsibility then is to walk worthy. To walk worthy. Then He says, to be fruitful. I think of the Connors. You know, if you ever get out to their place, you see all of the stuff that they have out there with their garden, a greenhouse and all that. Because, John, it just happens, right? You mean you just don't just like throw stuff on the ground and then wait and a couple months later then walk back and have all this tomatoes and everything else just growing like crazy, right? To be fruitful requires work. So John, how many hours did you say put into that garden? It's scores. Number one, to be fruitful, there's preparation that's involved. There's preparation. Well, you got Scott. I mean, he grew up in all of that industry and all that too. It's preparation. It takes work. And they go out and they till the ground and they prepare the ground and they go out and they spend hours upon hours getting everything ready before it's even planted. Then once it's planted and they put it, the seed into the ground, and then it's hours upon hours of protecting it and working it and looking for those weeds that are going to pop up and to get rid of them and to spend all that time in the water and the work. And it's hard. It's labor. And then, after it's all said and done, and on top of that, too, there's a lot of faith that's involved in that, too. Because there's a lot of work that you can do, but if God's not in it, it's not going to grow. So God blesses, and he says, okay, I see all the work, and so then I'm going to bless with fruit. For us to be fruitful, it takes work and effort. We cannot be a lazy church if we want to be fruitful. We cannot be lazy Christians if we want to be fruitful in our own lives. We have to put the effort behind it. And here's the problem. We don't like work. I don't know about you, but when I get to work, I don't really enjoy being at work. Why? Because it's work. I'd much rather be at home relaxing. I'd much rather be with Brother John and Brother Jim up at Holter fishing because it's enjoyable. I'd much rather be out with my boys and spending some time with them and riding bikes and everything else. Why? Because it's leisure. But there's work. There's work that has to be done. Brother Boa, hey, you think he likes being away from his family? No, but he knows that with work, there are things that happen and things that they have to do that they may not like, but they do it because it's their job. It's their responsibility. And as Christians, there are times in our lives when there's going to be things that come up. We don't like it. But we got to work. Because if we stop working, we stop growing. We stop working, there's no fruit. Then when Jesus looked at that fig tree, and it had no fruit. So what did he say? Tear it up. It's good for nothing. Well, I hope that's never said about Heritage Baptist Church. Close the doors. They're good for nothing. They're lazy and complacent. They won't work. In order for us to be fruitful, we have to put the effort into it. And we have to include God into it as well. If we don't include God into this, and we just do it on our own abilities, it's not going to work. It's got to be both. Somebody once said, work like it all depends on you, and pray like it all depends on God. There's got to be effort. And lastly, do we have a desire for the Word of God? to walk worthy. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Here it is, and increasing in the knowledge of God. To study the Word of God takes effort. You have to have a desire for it. To read it, to make it part of you, part of your identity. See, sometimes in our society today, Christianity is being viewed as is just a pretty much like a social club. We show up on Sunday morning and we do what we're expected to do it because then it is socially good for us to be a church. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're here this morning. But a lot of times, that's it. When we get into the knowledge of the Word of God and we study it and we make it our life, that's when it changes us. All we do is just come so we can hear a message and go home and check mark church attendance. We stop short. And God looks at us and saying, not walking worthy. Not walking worthy. Do we desire the sincere milk of the Word? This right here. Do we want this to become who we are? To identify as this? Or do we just want to have the label? We have the label, but just because it has the label doesn't mean what's inside of it. Well, could you imagine if somebody went into a pantry and started changing all the labels around? It'd be a really nice April Fool's joke. Somebody opens up some, you know, tomato sauce and it's, you know, something completely different. Why? Labels are nice. But just because it has a label does not mean what's inside. It's supposed to, but it's not a guarantee. For us, we can walk around with the label, a member of Heritage Baptist Church. We can walk around with the label, I'm a Christian. We can walk around with the label, I'm a saved individual on my way to heaven. And that's good. But what's inside? What are we putting into it? Are we increasing in our knowledge of the Word of God? When you get into investments, if you've ever gotten into it, so now we've talked about some investments and all that, you know, over the years and such. Investments you always want to see on your graph. What? Growth. They call it a return on investments, or, you know, to see that growth. On a 401k, you'll see sometimes, you know, where it comes up and then it drops back down and it goes back up again, you know, as far as your percentage of what you're gaining. And you never want to see it dropping down. Why? You're losing money. That's not good. You always want to see growth. So here's a question. Do you know more about this Bible than you did last year? Do you know more than what you did last month? Or have we gotten to the point in our life where we feel that's good enough? I've learned enough. What are we doing? Pleasing ourselves. I've learned enough where I feel good about it. That I have a general working knowledge of the Word of God. So I'm okay. And what happens? We stop learning. When I was a kid, as I mentioned, we lived in Germany. And part of the DoD schools, programs because being in Germany, we had English class in elementary school, and then right after English class, we took German. And, you know, you'd get your words, and you'd have to learn, you know, Huhn for dog, and Oma and Opa, and for Grandma and Grandpa. And you'd go through, and you'd take German class to learn the language. That was back in 1989 was my last time that I sat in a class and learned German. Guess what? I don't remember much. I can count to 10, maybe to 20. I could pick out little things, little words here and there that maybe that I remember, but that's about it. I took Spanish in high school for a semester. When I was in college, I took a semester of Spanish. Guess what? I don't know about you, but living in Great Falls, Montana, you don't use a lot of Spanish. I can get out now in the Tasting Padre Iglesia Baptista, North Valley, autobus, mañana. That's about it. Why? Not applying it. I took a couple semesters of sign language. I know a couple of words, but guess what? That's about it. Why? I don't apply it. And because I haven't applied it, I've lost it. I can remember fragments of German. I can remember fragments of Spanish. I can remember fragments of sign language. My brother, he signs at their church. He's constantly learning. Always learning more and more and more. Even though he's gotten to a point where he's somewhat fluent with sign language, he's still learning. Why? Because he needs to apply it daily. Otherwise, you'll lose it. The Word of God is the same way. We can apply it or we'll lose it. We have to have the desire to increase in knowledge. And that's what this is right here. It's knowledge. And then we have to apply that knowledge to our lives. Why? So that we can walk worthy. To walk worthy, not of ourselves, not of what other people view us as, but to walk worthy of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning we would make decisions. Lord, we may be walking worthy right now, but Lord, I pray that we would continue to walk worthy. Lord, I pray that we would make decisions, that we would live our life to be pleasing, not to ourselves, but to You. Lord, sometimes it may be things that we may not like, but You do. So I pray that we would walk worthy of the vocation for which we are called. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Before you can walk worthy, the first step is knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. I don't know, we've got pretty much all church family here. But has there been that moment where you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Is there that doubt that's there of spending eternity in heaven? If you're that person, I'd like to pray for you and say, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. All right? So everybody here's on their way to heaven, which is absolutely wonderful. But are we walking worthy? We're going to ask the piano to play. And ask everyone to stand their feet. We'll just have a short time of invitation. We've got time. The altar's open. Are you walking worthy? Do we walk worthy? Not compared to what everybody else is doing, but when we compare ourselves to God, do we walk worthy? Is our actions, our speech, our mannerism, is it pleasing to God? Or is it not? Take all the time that you need. What matters most is being right with God. Not what everybody else thinks or says or a time frame as far as how long that we should be here. But are we right with God? Do we walk worthy? Not compared to what we think we should be, but what compared to what God thinks. To walk worthy. Once again, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never been scripturally baptized. Or maybe you want to join our church, whatever it may be. Let's make decisions today. Let's leave a little bit different than when we came in. Let's not just be stirred up. It's easy to get stirred. But then after we get stirred, we need to act on it. We need to put in the effort to change so that we could walk worthy. For the decisions that were made today. Lord, I pray that you would be with us now as we go our separate ways. Bring us back tonight at 6 for our evening gospel time. Lord, I also pray that you would be with our pastor. He's away from us and just encourage him and Mrs. Shear. And thank you for all that you do for us in your name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.